son of an idiot.
Wait, huh? No, wait, don't shoot. No. AIDS? Come on. It stinks. What are the odds of that?
Poor soul lost to COVID-19.
Yes, COVID.
COVID.
Yep,
that was COVID. That's COVID for you.
Irrefutably COVID.
Indubitably COVID. Hey, you! If you don't want to end up dead from COVID like this guy, then you better get your vaccine.
Oh my God. Vaccinate me right away.
Pre-existing health conditions.
Oh, yes, of course.
Pre-existing health conditions.
Irrefutably.
Undoubtedly.
Indubitably.
Yeah, folks, the COVID era was a complete joke. And that animation, that opening animation, kind of sums it up perfectly. That's the kind of stuff they were saying, that's the kind of stuff they were doing. Speaking of COVID, as I mentioned, I think on the last report, there's been some big changes in Australia with the release of the Port Hedland report, which has shown the amount of damage that the COVID jab actually did. And for those people who follow me on Telegram, I posted on my Telegram channel just a couple of days ago, there was a huge win in the Queensland court for a doctor called Dr. William Bay, who was deregistered and forced out of his profession. This guy had been a doctor for years, but he was speaking out against the vaccine. He was refusing to vaccinate people and was not following the government guidelines. And so he was deregistered, and he's been working as an Uber Eats driver for the last couple of years. And he went to court last week and won a huge victory against APRA. APRA is basically the medical board in Australia that controls all this sort of shit. And he had a huge victory, and the judge decreed that he is allowed to criticise vaccines. I mean, it basically removed the gag orders on all of the doctors in Australia. They can now openly speak against medication and against government guidelines, and they will not be penalised for doing so. It may not seem like a big thing to a lot of people, but it is actually huge. It's a huge win for free speech in Australia. And maybe this will open the floodgates. Maybe there'll be more doctors speaking out. Admittedly, they should have done so earlier. You know, it'll be very difficult for anybody to ever have any trust in the medical industry ever again. Because really, I mean, this guy, Dr. William Bay, was prepared to lose his license and have to work as an Uber Eats driver or whatever in order to do the right thing and say what was true. You know, his heart was in the right place. Whatever you think of the medical profession. I mean, we've had a lot of information come out about the medical profession in the last few years, ever since this COVID scamdemic came into being. People realise now that allopathic medicine is basically designed to kill you. And there's been many doctors that have spoken about this and just kind of realised that, oh shit, I've just spent the last 40 years slowly poisoning people. So it's going to be very difficult to regain any trust in that profession, and like I said, a lot of doctors should have spoken out before this point. But the fact that he's achieved this victory means that everybody can now. It's a huge victory for free speech in Australia, folks. It's been great. And it's been great to see the court actually pass this. There was a video, like I said, I posted on Telegram by Cafe Lockout. And it was great. And I recommend you go and check it out. Like I said, it's on my Telegram channel. I'll put a link to it below. You can go and have a look. And just really good to see this sort of stuff happening. Australia's actually been doing some good things. They've been... Visas. I mean, it's very difficult to get into Australia. It's got the most ridiculously difficult visa application system. They really want to keep people out of Australia. I don't really know why. I mean, they're bringing in hundreds of thousands of migrants from Africa and India. But any normal person trying to get a visiting visa, I mean, it's very difficult for them. But it's always been that way as well. But be that as it may, one thing that I respect them for is I think they've added something like 80 questions to a visa application for Israeli citizens. And one of the questions is, have you ever participated in genocide? And because, of course, most Israelis are IDF soldiers, it's kind of a requirement if you're an Israeli. If you want citizenship and you want full rights, you've got to serve in the IDF, which means you've got to be sent to commit genocide. So that's good to see. So there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in Australia. And what's going on in Gaza? I mean, it's genocide, folks. I've covered this so much over the last 12 months. I mean, to the point of ad nauseum. But again, I mean, a lot of the reason they've stretched it out so long is because they want people to get bored with it. They want people to just forget about talking about it. And that will, of course, allow them to exterminate the last vestiges of the Palestinian people. And Trump's pushing this as well. Trump's again remarked that if all the hostages aren't released by January 20, then all hell will break loose in the Middle East. And, you know, it's debatable that there even are any hostages, folks. I mean, I don't believe a word that Israel says anymore. I don't think anybody could. And I don't know how anybody who calls himself an activist or calls himself part of the alternative media could not have been speaking about what's going on in Gaza. I mean, it's so important. And it's not just Gaza, it's West Bank. Now it's moved over to Lebanon and Syria. They've been bombing the living shit out of Syria, folks.
So what? صاحت ريح البارود وصلت ريحه له.
I mean, you think about it, there was apparently an uprising of rebels who overthrew Assad's government. And then under the pretext of keeping weapons out of the hands of rebels, Israel went in and started bombing military facilities. Basically so that whatever government appears in Syria will have absolutely no defense system at all. We'll have no army, we'll have no military, we'll have no hardware, we'll have nothing that it can use to defend itself. Now, under the guise of keeping chemical weapons out of the hands of terrorists, you know, I'm citing the chemical attack that Assad allegedly committed against his people about 10 or 15 years ago. There was no chemical attack. This has been long since established. There were no chemical weapons. It's the same as the way Israel claimed they bombed the nuclear reactor in Iraq to prevent Saddam Hussein from gaining nuclear weapons. No, they didn't. It was a nuclear reactor. It was a power plant. All they did was shut down the power in Iraq, protecting against weapons of mass destruction. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. None of it was about that. But anyway, they've been bombing the living shit out of Syria, folks. They really have. They did 500 locations. They bombed, dropped 1,800 bombs on 500 locations in Syria in about 3 days. Soon after the rebels had taken over. And the rebels, we've been established. I mean, these are Israeli proxies. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, these are all Israeli proxies. There was even talk that the actual leader of the rebels, I can't remember his name, Jalani, he actually went to school in Tel Aviv at basically a Jewish Islamic school. So that wouldn't surprise me either if that's true. All of this stuff is such theatrics, folks, it really is. And Israel's still denying genocide. And look at what it's done to Rafah. Rafah was the safe zone that they sent everybody to live in. And it's rubble now. They bombed another hospital in Gaza the other day. They bombed another school, destroying homes in West Bank. Now, it's genocide, folks. And it's obviously genocide, you know, withholding aid. Even like shooting Palestinians on a beach, civilians, and then sending dogs in to eat the bodies so nobody can rescue them. They keep shooting at anybody who comes to try to rescue them. And then they send hungry dogs in to eat the Palestinians they've just shot while the people and their families and people trying to rescue them are watching this stuff. What sort of a mind thinks up that sort of stuff, folks? It's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, I didn't want to dwell on Gaza. Of course, I'm going to be touching on it on every show that I do until this conflict is over, because it's an important issue. And we must not lose focus on it. We've got to always keep some form of attention on what's going on there. Otherwise, Israel's going to get away with what it's doing. I mean, this is Israel's attempt to take over the world and form greater Israel. I mean, it's already pretty much taken over the world as much as it's in control of all of our governments. Not so the Irish government, of course. The Irish government has been speaking out about the genocide in Gaza for so long. It supported the charges that were brought against Israel in the ICJ and the ICC, the South African tribunal that called for charges of genocide to be put against Israel. And so Israel has removed its embassy from Dublin. The Israeli embassy in Ireland is now closed. That's a good thing. That's a victory for Ireland, although it should have happened sooner. I mean, they should have actually kicked them out of the embassy rather than Israel closing the embassy. That would have been nice to see. But there is a lot of pushback coming from a lot of places around the world. Like I said, even more subtly in Australia, which is, of course, why they staged the synagogue fire, the firebombing of the synagogue, claiming it was an attempt to burn Jews alive. It happened at 4 a.m. in the morning. If they wanted to burn Jews alive, they would have done it while the synagogue was in session. There were people there praying. And it appears to have been done by Jews. I mean, the Jewish population of Australia has just risen to the occasion. They're trying to blame Anthony Albanese for all sorts of stuff. You know, this has all been done because of Albanese's stance against the genocide in Gaza. He doesn't want to send any more logistical support to them, and he's put all this new stuff on the visa applications whereby you cannot come into Australia if you are an IDF soldier who has participated in genocide. Now, bear in mind that, I mean, Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant, the former defense secretary of Israel, have both been charged with war crimes. They've both been accused and charged with genocide and are wanted criminals. There has been an international arrest warrant put out for both of them. The fact that the United States is ignoring that and a couple of other countries are ignoring that does not detract from the fact that these people are internationally convicted war criminals, guilty of genocide, found in a court of law, whatever you think of the UN. I mean, it's just the same people they used to prosecute Saddam Hussein, and that was a complete sham. You know, they get away with all this sort of stuff, and then when it comes for them, they go, oh no, this is an anti-Semitic organization. It's unreal, folks. It's unreal. So that's why this synagogue firebombing happened in Australia. It's obviously a false flag. It was done to vilify the Albanese government so they could be replaced with the other side of the coin, which is led by Peter Dutton. Peter Dutton was recently in Tel Aviv. They take them there and they do their little wailing wall sessions, and you know, it's just what they do, folks. It's same thing happened with Kevin Rudd when he was replaced by Julia Gillard. She went to Israel, did the little ceremony. Kevin Rudd was replaced, and then Julia Gillard was put in there, and she completely towed the Israeli line. That's how it works, folks. I mean, Israel is in control of all of our countries, and what they're doing in the Middle East now is staging the war for Greater Israel under the guise of, you know, protecting themselves. I told you, after they finish with Gaza, or while they're still doing Gaza, they were going to go into Lebanon, which they did. They have. They've almost obliterated Lebanon because they've destroyed all the infrastructure, all the communications, all the weapons depots. They've bombed the shit out of Beirut. They've bombed villages into oblivion in southern Lebanon. At least 24 villages completely destroyed. And now they're doing it in Syria. And I said to you, they're going to do Gaza, they're going to do Lebanon, they're going to do Syria. And then I said, even a couple of shows ago, I said, and they'll find a way to absorb Jordan. Well, now a report came out, I think yesterday or the day before, where there are Israelis saying they are very concerned about the situation in Jordan because the rising of rebels in Syria, which are, again, their own proxy army, the rising of rebels in Syria may cause rebels to do the same thing in Jordan, and they need to keep a close eye on Jordan, because if the rebels try to overthrow the government, then they may need to go in there to protect the people.
אלא המרד בסוריה, ועם השאלה האם המרד הזה עלול להתפשט למדינות נוספות, אני אליך בעניין הזה, כתבנו סולימן מסועדה, עם החשש בישראל לגבי המצב בירדן.
נכון, ממש כך טלי, ולא סתם בישראל עוסקים בסוגיה הזאת כמה פעמים כולי גם בדיוני קבינט, תכף נרחיב על זה, אבל נגיד את זה כך, יש חשש אמיתי בישראל שהצלחת המורדים בסוריה תשפיע גם על גורמים בירדן, על גורמי קיצון, גורמים ג'יהאדיסטים וגם גורמים שמתנגדים לשלטון המלכותי של ירדן, ותעלה להם את המוטיבציה לערער את יציבות השלטון שם ולמעשה לעשות לירדן את מה שהמורדים עשו בסוריה, וכך שהשלטון ייפול בתוך זמן קצר. זה החשש בישראל. עכשיו, יש כמה סימנים שמעידים על החשש הזה. אחד, המורדים שמצליחים לכבוש את הגבול בין ירדן לסוריה. הדיונים שפרסמנו אותם כאן לפני כשבוע, הדיונים בקבינט ובצמרת המדינית
same scenario. You know, they used the whole Hamas is hiding behind human shields in Gaza excuse to go on ethnically cleanse Gaza and turn every building to rubble. They used that same excuse to say Hezbollah is hiding with civilians in Lebanon. They went in, they decimated Lebanon. Then they go into Syria to bomb all the weapons facilities. They use their proxy army to destabilize the place. Then they go in there and they use their air force to bomb all the weapons facilities and all the military targets, everything that was anything to do with defense of the country, get all that out of the way, under the excuse of protecting the country from rebels. And now they're going to take that same scenario into Jordan. And I said to you, they're going to find a way to absorb Jordan. And here it is. They're talking about it already. And of course, the rebels in Syria, they're saying they're all Turkish-backed as well. That's the theme, they're Turkish-backed rebels, because of course, southeastern Turkey is actually part of their Greater Israel project. So that's of course why Erdogan or whatever his name is getting involved. Yeah, they're all puppets, folks. They're all puppets. They're all moving the world towards what they want it to be, and they're all working together for the same thing. I mean, Turkey may be taking a stance against all sorts of things Israel's doing, but by the same token, it's doing exactly what Israel needs it to do in order to form Greater Israel. It's one big puppet show, the whole thing. You know, Assad runs off and flees to Russia. Russia goes in and attacks Ukraine exactly when they needed Russia to go in and attack Ukraine. You know, it's all leading towards the same thing in all countries, folks. But this is what Israel is doing. It's expanding into greater Israel. It's going to end up occupying all of Syria. It might do it by proxy for a start, but it's going to end up annexing Syria, and it's going to end up annexing Jordan, and then it will turn its attention to Egypt, saying that it needs to secure the Philadelphia corridor, and that must have been happening because Egypt wasn't paying attention to border security, and they're going to find a way to do this, folks. Yeah. From the Euphrates to the Nile, that's what they want. That's the two stripes on the Israeli flag with the Star of Baphomet in the center. And yeah, that's what they want to do, and that's what's happening. All very predictable and all right on cue, and all just as I said. They're going to do Gaza, they're going to do Lebanon, going to do Syria, then they'll do Jordan. And that's what they're doing now. So yeah, anyway, I know everyone gets bored with this topic, but it's so important. It affects all of our governments, it affects all of our countries, it affects the future that we are creating. All this digital shit, all this digital surveillance, I mean, what's going on in the Middle East justifies the need for all this in the eyes of government as well. You're really rolling things out in Australia. They want to bring in that internet safety bill to protect children under the age of 16, so they're going to need to bring in digital ID in order to do that. And they believe that's going to come online around about December 2025. They are also doing a three-year plan to roll out the CBDC. They intend to eliminate cash altogether in Australia by, you know, the year, what, well, that would be 2028, beginning of 2028. So a three-year plan, 2025, 2026, 2027. By the end of 2027, they want to have all digital currency in Australia. So it's really important for people to push back against that. And the victory that's just happened with Dr. William Bay, you know, how he's able to speak out against the medical profession, and they've kind of enshrined free speech into the verdict. Well, this would enable people to conceivably now also be able to speak out against the CBDC and speak out against everything this government is doing. I mean, the government is milking the people of Australia dry. And consider, I mean, Australia is twice the size of Europe. It's one of the most resource-rich nations on earth. And it has one of the lowest populations, 26 million people in Australia. You know, looking at those maths, Australians should have the highest standard of living in the world, with the lowest cost of living in the world, if any of the commonwealth of the nation was being passed to the people. But it doesn't. It's one of the highest costs of living in the world. Massive accommodation crises at the moment because of the government importing immigrants into the country and giving them first preference on anything. So many homeless developing in Australia, sometimes up to 10,000 people a month are becoming homeless in Australia. I mean, how long is this going to take to impoverish and, you know, displace all of the Australians? But that's what's going on there, folks. It's crazy. Really crazy. Getting on to other things, like I said, I don't want to dwell on Gaza and Palestine and stuff too much, though it is important to keep a focus. But something else has been going on that's been getting a lot of attention is the drone swarms in the United States. A lot of people think this is all fictitious, but no, there are actually lots of drone swarms happening in the United States, and sometimes like dozens of drones in one swarm.
Boy, that shit dropping on Earth, nigga. Whoa! Nah! Hey, bro, it's gonna start shaking. Hey, bro, that might be a plane, fool.
You're pretty crazy stuff, folks. There's been a lot of people freaking out about it. The government is saying, oh, these are just probably shop-bought drones. There's nothing to worry about. And there's a clue there. But there's other people that are saying these are UFOs. And, you know, frankly, adding creepy music to it doesn't do much to the credibility of clips like that. These don't look like UFOs. These look like six-winged drones with a light on each wing. You know, they're quite common, six-winged drones. And, you know, some of these are quite large. They're about the size of cars. But the fact that the government says not to worry about it is very interesting. Of course, other sources are claiming, you know, they're holograms, they're UFOs, they're Iranian drones, or they're being sent by China, or it's a foreign invader, or whatever. Very interestingly, there was a report put out, I think, on Zero Hedge, which showed that there is a new bill, or an old bill, namely the HR 860 Security, Safety and Reauthorization Act, which is due to expire on December 20th. And of course, with all of this drone activity, they are going to need to make sure that bill stays in place. That's a good excuse for that as well. But the thing is, I mean, there couldn't be this many drones flying over the country, all over New Jersey, all over New York, some over California as well, and not just in America. There's also reports of this sort of drone activity in Germany. But you can't tell me that this type of activity could be happening without the government knowing about it. And if the government didn't know about it, there would be all sorts of panic and mayhem, and they'd be, you know, like Trump's calling for them to be shot down, and, you know, which, again, is complete theatre, because Trump is part of the system, folks. I don't know how people haven't figured that out yet. This guy is so Zionist, and he's going to push to bomb Iran. He's going to push to do everything Israel wants. And people who think he isn't pro-Zionist, I mean, some of the stuff that he's done, he's been bailed out by Jewish bankers ever since the 1980s. He was like $900 million in debt or something in the 1980s. He got bailed out by Rothschild banks, bailed out by Jewish agents. He's got a picture of Theodore Herzl on his office wall. That's how pro-Zionist this guy is. The whole ear-piercing ceremony, I still don't think he got shot in the ear. Doesn't make sense. But anyway, this guy is totally going to do what Israel wants. And he's saying shoot them down, and other people are saying shoot them down. This seems like a bit of a psyop as well, folks. There was one report that came to me of a transgender clinic that is supplying hormone reassigning drugs or something to clinics, and this is soon going to be regulated, and this person is actually delivering a lot of this stuff at night, you know, to get it out of the security cameras, and delivering a lot of this hormonal stuff to these trans clinics as well. That's one theory that was put to me. Again, a lot of these drones are as big as a car. They're quite large. I think mainly this is being done just to distract and terrorize the people of America, keep them in fear. Again, allow for the HR 860 Security, Safety and Reauthorization Act to be renewed, and also to distract people from everything else that's going on in the world. Distract people from what the financial system's doing. Distract them from what's going on in Gaza and Syria and the Middle East. I mean, a lot of people are getting bored with the Middle East because it's just this ongoing thing, you know, a year of genocide in Gaza, over a year, like 14, 15 months of genocide in Gaza, slow kill genocide, slowly turning every single place to rubble. I mean, even going into West Bank as well, going in, raiding West Bank and then using bulldozers to destroy the streets and the infrastructure while you're there.
وراح المحل راح راح الصدرية الصدرية راح الصدرية
كما اجتمعت صور توسطى
وين
لما صور توسطى مشي
وين فوت جوا هاي الجرافه من وين.
You know, they say they're not committing genocide, but destroying streets and infrastructure is genocide by definition. You're displacing people and you're removing them of the ability to return home because you're destroying their property, destroying their homes, destroying anything that they had there that they could use to survive. Cancelling aid trucks, claiming that there's aid trucks going through and then filling the sugar bags full of sand and giving them flour that's gone off and you know, poisoning cans of food. I mean, they've done horrendous stuff to these people. And it's genocide. The fact that Rafah is now rubble, this is genocide. It's indisputable that this is genocide. And yet the media and some politicians and a lot of Israeli mouthpieces, a lot of bots on X, there's an awful lot of bots on X, folks. Be careful of arguing with people on X because you're generally just arguing with bots. You know, I get attacked by bots all the time. I just generally respond with memes these days, you know, like a picture of, you know, an Israeli star with child killers written on it or whatever. I mean, I just generally respond with memes. When I see a post that's ridiculous, I just put a meme there. So people who go and read the post will see it. But I'm not going to get into an argument with these people because most of them aren't even people. But, yeah, all this drone stuff, folks, it's just to distract people. It's to distract people and to allow them to continue this HR 860, you know, Reauthorization Act bill. It's to keep you distracted, it's to put you in fear. And the government is doing it. Of course the government is doing it. If the government wasn't doing it, then there'd be outrage. There'd be all sorts of scrambling. There'd be F-22s and fighters up in the air shooting these things down. They'd be capturing them to find out who put them there, who's spying on the nation. I mean, this is pretty major activity. It also goes along with the whole blue beam thing. I mean, there's been also videos that have been released of what look like UFOs being followed by F-22 fighters. I mean, whether they're real or not is another question. Whether this is alien technology or whether it's United States technology is another question. But there are videos that are all surfacing of at least two videos that I've seen of F-22s following UFOs.
No.
Yeah. God.
Oh, whoa.
What is it?
No.
That thing's awesome. Pretty good vibration. I got it all, yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And, you know, UFO, what is a UFO? It's a flying object that can't be identified. So, you know, unidentified flying object. So the question is, are they alien machines or are they our machines? And UFOs are real, folks. I mean, they are real. I've seen UFOs myself in broad daylight. And like I say, simply a flying object that I am unable to identify. And I saw one in 2020 in Bundaberg, out over the ocean, and it was in full view for at least 5 minutes. We're all sitting there saying, who wants to run to the chemist and buy a disposable camera so we can get a shot of this thing? But no one wanted to go and miss the show. So that's the thing. We didn't have cell phones back then, so people can't just video random stuff in the sky. You actually had to go and buy a camera or go and get a disposable camera in order to photograph or video these things. And yeah, nobody wanted to miss it, but it was in full view for like 5 minutes, and it was huge. the amount of atmospheric distortion I saw with this thing, it must have been easy the size of a soccer field, because it was a long, long way away. You can see from the atmospheric distortion. I'd say that if a 747 or even a jumbo jet was next to this thing, you probably wouldn't have been able to see it. Too much atmospheric distortion. So this thing was huge. It was huge. It was a textbook UFO. Big disc, you know, dome on top, small dome underneath, bright light pulsing on it. In view for 5 minutes, and then it just flicked out, disappeared, like it either slipped into another dimension or it moved away so fast that you couldn't see that it was gone. You couldn't see where it went, you know. It was crazy, and there was like six of us there watching this, like about 10:15, 10:30 in the morning, sitting on a staircase on a landing, just looking up in the sky, watching this thing for a full 5 minutes. So yeah, they're real, they exist. The question is, who drives them? Where do they come from? Could be anywhere. It could be interdimensional, could be our governments, could come from outside. What we know as the Earth could come from the inner Earth. There's just no way of knowing. There's been a lot of reports of them coming out of the ocean and stuff too, around Australia. A lot of sightings of weird objects coming out of the mountains seem to come up from underground in near the Glasshouse Mountains in Australia, in Queensland as well. Machu Picchu. A lot of sightings in Mexico as well. Interesting. But like I said, who knows where they come from, folks. Now, I don't even think I've looked at my list yet and even got started, but the drones, the mRNA jabs and all that. I mean, a lot of people are realizing now that these jabs, this isn't a vaccine, this is a lethal injection, as Jeff calls it. And more people are speaking out about it, and that's a good thing to see.
And then, of course, you had these mRNA injections, and please do not call them vaccines anymore. Just don't. Do not use their language. These are no vaccines. These are mRNA injections. And, they didn't do any of the stuff they were supposed to do. Didn't prevent infection, didn't prevent transmission. It didn't even save you from shield you from a severe course. And it did not even prevent hospitalization. It didn't do any of that. The only thing this mRNA injection, in fact, it did, it protected you from government oppression. That's the only thing this mRNA injection worked out. But, I mean, not for very long, because they're going to get everyone. And when you take a look at where we are as a society, we have now the last 3 years, particularly raised children that were born in that time, they grew up with a mindset that every other person is a potential threat. That's what we're looking at. I mean, I've seen accident victims that were in need of CPR. And they were just left to die there because the people were afraid to catch COVID if they administered CPR. Is that the society we want to live in? I don't. It was about saving lives, wasn't it? I mean, all it was about saving lives.
The alleged modified RNA vaccination coerces your body to produce a toxin in unknown dose and for an unknown period of time, and literally transforms parts of you into an alien. Therefore, the entire modified RNA vaccine platform must be banned immediately. Your government is currently negotiating a pandemic treaty with the WHO. If it signs it, the WHO will be placed above the constitution of your country, and not only you, but also your government and your parliament will lose all freedom of choice. Who controls the WHO controls the world. The only reasonable, 100% effective and safe prevention of another criminal pandemic is the immediate smashing of the WHO into 1,000 pieces.
And it's important to understand all of this sort of stuff because, I mean, they're actually starting vaccine factories in Australia, manufacturing mRNA vaccines. And these things aren't vaccines. They're going to give you a one-size-fits-all jab. a jab with this substance in there that they can trigger to release whatever type of spike protein that they want, which will allegedly heal you from whatever virus that you get. But what else can they do with that? What can they trigger to happen to your body? I mean, oh shit, he suddenly died of whatever, myocarditis, you know, pulmonary whatever, suddenly had a heart attack, suddenly got this, suddenly got that, suddenly got cancer, turbo cancer, died in 2 weeks. I mean, they can do all this sort of stuff as well, folks. Do not let them inject you with anything. This stuff is poison, folks. It's absolute poison. And it's all about depopulation, folks, and it always has been. This whole jab was about depopulation. What's going on in Gaza? What's going on in Palestine is depopulation. What's going on in Ukraine is depopulation. One thing for the Palestinian people, though, folks, I mean, the strength and resilience of these people is just unbelievable. Even the children.
كيف حالك؟ ليش تحمل أخوك؟
أنت عصب من
السيارة. طيب وين موديها؟
بتروح على عرشتنا.
وانت مش تعبان وانت حملها هيك؟
تعبان ولسه بحملها ومش قادر.
وين رايحة انت هالليل؟
انا رايحة على المنتزه البريج.
في المنتزه البريج؟
اه.
طب تعال اخذك معايا. بتحبي اختك عشان احملها كانت؟ طلع علي.
Yeah, incredible spirit of these people, folks. But of course, you speak out against it, you're anti-Semite. I mean, they've been imprisoning people for saying just the smallest things. And let the Jews can get away with anything. There was a rabbi who was caught, I think, in the United States. And he had 30 women that he had enslaved. Apparently, he was keeping them somewhere. This group of 30 women enslaved, and he got busted for it. 11 of them were so traumatized they couldn't even go to the trial, didn't want to testify against him because they didn't want to see him again. And for the enslavement of 30 women, this rabbi was fined $34,000 and given 9 months community service. 9 months community service. You go out and punch a black man or punch, you know, do something to defend yourself, and you'll give you 5 years. You speak out against the government, they'll give you 5 or 10 years. Look at what they gave the people on the January 6th debacle. You know, some of these people got like next to life imprisonment, and they didn't do anything. It wasn't this big incursion. The cops were letting them into the building, for God's sake. And most of them were pretty organized and pretty calm. You know, there was one person who got shot by a police officer for no reason whatsoever, just to, you know, create a killing there, so ended up being a violent rabble. I mean, it was all done by the police. These people get life imprisonment, and yet this rabbi enslaves 30 women, and he gets 9 months community service and $34,000 fine, which is nothing to these people. 34 grand is nothing to these people. Most of them probably got Bitcoin. I mean, look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin went to $107,400 this morning when I looked at it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, Trump's talking about using Bitcoin and blah, blah, blah. They're talking about locking it all up so it can't be spent. Now, Bitcoin is not your friend, folks. I mean, cryptocurrencies could work, but, I mean, Bitcoin might be okay as an investment, but then you need to trade it out for other things such as Monero and do your purchases in Monero if you're going to be using cryptocurrency. Now, everything that you do with Bitcoin is tracked and traced. Even with what's going on in Nicaragua, where Bitcoin is actually the national currency. And people think, oh, I'm just doing it, it's free trading. Well, no, it's not. It's all tracked and traced. Bitcoin is completely transparent, and they know everything you're doing with it. But yeah, finding this guy $34,000 and giving him 9 months community service, I mean, what the fuck is that, folks? That's just an embarrassment. It really is. But it shows just how much these people can get away with. Remarkable. Mexico, folks. Mexico. Yeah, game back in the secret garden, folks. As you can tell, coming along nicely. This is where Anarcapulco will be held this year. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm going to be packing stuff up and going somewhere else after an Acapulco. I'm going to travel a little bit. There's some things I want to do. And I've got some invites to be in some certain places, so I'm going to do that. And then I'll get another place. I mean, I'll end up back in Mexico, I would say, but I'm not quite sure when. It's going to be an interesting year next year, folks. It really is. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's beautiful, though, isn't it? The Secret Garden. Also, I've had quite a interesting response. I spoke on the last, the last video I think I did, when I spoke about this secret adventure I intend to go on either in 2026 or 2027, going to places that you're not really supposed to go to on a boat, and just checking things out and trying to find some answers for myself. We'll be taking two boats. It will probably be like an 8 to 10 man crew. We're just taking small boats because small boats are better for going through, you know, waters where there might be ice and stuff. I mean, sometimes if you're in a larger boat, like a 45-foot boat or something, it can be really difficult to navigate through tight places. There have been some books written by people over the ages that claim to have gone to such places and have said that they were lucky that they were in a small boat because of the ice packs and things. But I mentioned it on the last show, and I've had a lot of emails from people who are saying they want to be involved and they want help, and you know, some of them saying they want to come and all sorts of stuff like that. I put all of these emails in a folder. I haven't answered any of them yet. I haven't responded to any of the people. But I've put them all in a folder, and you will get a response from me at some stage. I mean, like I said, we're going to have to work out some sort of a GoFundMe to get funding to do this, because there's no way I can afford to do it. But it's something that I think needs to be done. I mean, it'd be the adventure of a lifetime, and it will put so many questions to rest. I mean, so many questions people have about these places would be put to rest. Yeah, and we're never going to know what the truth is until we actually go and find out ourselves. And of course, we have to get permission to go and find out, but I've always figured that it's a lot easier to get forgiveness than permission. So we're just going to do it. And like I said, I'm not telling you where I'm going. I'm not telling you what path I'm going. I'm not even telling you exactly when I'm going. It will just be done. But like I said, I have had an enormous amount of responses to it, and you will get a reply from me. But again, I mean, this isn't going to be happening for at least, 2 years, I'd say, before. I mean, it's going to take that long in preparation to get this all done. So it's done properly and it's done safely, done effectively. You've got to pay attention to every detail. So, I mean, it's going to be at least 18 months to 2 years. It's probably going to be like, it might even be a year before I even start the fundraiser. We've got to work out what the cost is going to be to do all this as well. And there's no point opening a fundraiser now for some type of an idea that nobody knows what it is and we don't know what the cost is. So, but that's something for the future. So, yeah, I mean, and this will be the first time I've ever done a fundraiser. I've never done a fundraiser for anything in my life, but if we do this, I'm going to need to, and I'll also make sure it's completely itemized so everybody knows where the money's going and what's going on. We'll work out something so that, you know, if people donate to the fundraiser, then we'll give them a little bit more information on what the actual mission is, so they'll know what they're being involved in. So that's kind of the plan. But for security reasons, we've got to keep it kind of secret where we're going from now and the path we're going to take and when we're going to do it. But yeah, thank you to all the people that responded. And it's kind of exciting to see so many other people getting excited about this, because I'm really excited about it. This little setup they've got going on out here, folks, got a little desk and obviously selling gemstones or something, because you've got this magnifying glass there that you can look at gemstones and insects and just everything through. A couple of nice paintings through here. The Secret Garden, it's a beautiful place, folks. As I said, this will be where Anarchapulco is being held next year, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be good. A lot of good stuff out in this place, folks. It's a really, really beautiful spot. I feel so honoured to be able to come and do videos here. Oh, also, I've got a rather, what I consider to be an important interview coming up sometime in the next few days as well. I'm actually going to be interviewing someone, and you all probably realise that I rarely interview anybody. I simply don't trust too many people in the alternate media anymore. And it's rare that I see someone who I believe is interview worthy, you know, has information important enough to actually warrant an interview, rather than me simply giving you the information myself. But I spoke to you recently about the fact that a lot of the videos that we saw coming from October the 7th, 2023, the alleged Hamas attack against Israel, a lot of these videos actually turned out to be AI-created videos. And so I'm interviewing the guy who made that discovery, and he's going to be running through some of the things that he saw. It will be a bit of screen sharing and stuff, and we'll show you what actually happened on October the 7th. I think it's really important. I mean, when you look at the whole war in Gaza and the call for hostages to be released, well, for a start, there is no war in Gaza. It's not a war. It takes two armies to have a war. The average age in Gaza is 17. In fact, 75% of the population of Gaza Strip is 17 years old or younger. So this isn't a war. They don't have an army. They don't have weapons. They don't have tanks. They don't have aircraft. They don't even have an airfield. They don't have anything, folks. What they've got is Kalashnikovs and Qassam rockets, which don't explode. I mean, it's ridiculous to call this a war. It's not a war. It's a genocide. And like I said, I even question whether there are any hostages. I mean, Israelis lie about so much. It'd be easy to get parents on there crying for their lost children that these children don't even exist. I mean, they're actors. Most of them are actors. Most of them made up so much stuff about the Holocaust, and they've all admitted that they lied about it. So many of them admitted that, no, we weren't in any camps, and, you know, I made all that stuff up. That story about me and this girl falling in love, and all, I made it all up. You know, we've had a lot of footage come out recently showing what the death camps were like video footage from Auschwitz, which doesn't show death camps. And people who have been there have seen that there's no gas chambers. I mean, the whole story doesn't add up. The math doesn't even add up. It's not possible to gas and burn that many people in the amount of time that we're told they did it. So the whole narrative is falling apart, and they lie about it so much. I even showed you that video where a lot of the people actually went in and got tattoos after the war, because by having a tattoo which indicated they'd been in one of the camps, they got all sorts of privileges and all sorts of rights and first choice of accommodation and all sorts of things they got. You know, so a lot of it was such a scam. So they lie about everything. I would not put it past them to be lying about the hostages. And the people in Gaza, I mean, they don't know. All the Hamas operatives that were there are dead. They're still fucking bombing hospitals and bombing suburbs and bombing residences and saying, we cleaned out Hamas terrorists. They're not Hamas terrorists. The last hospital that was in Gaza got bombed the other day. They led the hospital staff out, had them all sitting outside on the ground. These are doctors and nurses, not you know, combatants, not Hamas. And they claim Hamas captured. You know, these aren't Hamas. These are doctors. You know, so everybody they capture, they're just claiming is Hamas. And the people in Gaza don't know. I mean, even my friend Nidal in Gaza. Actually, Nadal's fundraiser is still below, folks, and he really needs funding. It would be great if you could contribute some money. I mean, they've got no income. All they're dependent upon at the moment is people's donations, because there's no work. There's nowhere they can go and get employed. They can't receive government pensions. They can't go and work at a job because there are no jobs. There are no government pensions because there are no government, because there are no buildings anymore. You know, it's terrible what's going on there, folks. But even Nadal was saying to me, and some of the things I'm asking him about the hostages and about Hamas and that, he's saying, well, I only know what I saw on the news, because we don't know. We're not in contact with Hamas. We don't know what they're doing. All we know is what we see that the media tells us is happening. So, you know, as far as death figures and stuff goes, he said to me the figure of 45,000 deaths. Says these are people who died in hospital. They filled out a death certificate for them. But he said there's hundreds of thousands missing. There's thousands upon thousands of people still buried under buildings. There's bodies that are blown apart. There's bodies that are eaten by dogs. There's people with their heads cut off, thrown to different places, and you can't tell who the bodies are. So a lot of people aren't accounted for, and anybody who didn't die at a hospital is not on that list. And the great majority of people didn't die at hospitals. They died in, like I said, everything I just said. Now, walking through the main road in Gaza from north to south, and there are so many people who are like bodies just scattered all over the road and stuff. It's horrendous, folks. So that's where that figure comes from. I mean, Nadal confirmed that for me. But he said as far as what happened on October the 7th, they have no information. All they have is what they hear on the media. And he said he doesn't believe half of it. He doesn't understand how Hamas could have actually carried out that attack and got across the border and did everything the way they did, because it's almost impossible to cross the border. You know, why the Israelis would have stood down and all that sort of stuff. I mean, Israel wanted this to happen, folks. And you look at what the result has been. Because of this October 7th attack, Israel has been able to ethnically cleanse all of Gaza and is in the process of annexing it, doing the same thing to West Bank, is doing the same thing to southern Lebanon, is now doing the same thing to Syria, and as I showed you before, intends to do this with Jordan as well. This is all as a result of what happened on October the 7th. And they're bragging about it, saying, well, look, Hamas didn't expect this to happen, did it? Hamas thought it could attack Israel, and look what's happened. It's brought down the entire Arab world, because that was the intention, folks. Problem, reaction, solution. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That's what this is. I mean, just the result, just the fact that Gaza, Palestine has fallen, West Bank has fallen, Lebanon has almost fallen, Syria has fallen, and Jordan is about to fall, which paves the way to Iraq, and then will pave the way to Iran. Just the fact that all this has happened from the October 7th attack, ask yourself the question, cui bono? Who benefits? Who benefited more than anybody from the October 7th attack? And what possible reason would Hamas have to actually do this, knowing what the response was going to be? And again, I'm going to have this guy, Matt, on the show in the next couple of days. This video will be recorded, and I think it's going to be an important interview. He's also got some other stuff he wants to talk about in regard to patent rights and things, something else he's got going on. But we're going to put a fair bit of focus on this Hamas attack, or this alleged Hamas attack, and the alleged Hamas videos that we've seen from October the 7th. I'm just going to kind of give him the floor for most of the time, and he's going to show you what's going on. But anyway, folks, I think that's about all I want to say. I've gone on a lot longer than I intended to. I don't think I've got anything more on my list. But yeah, I mean, these drone sightings and stuff, I mean, this is all, I mean, I wouldn't worry about it, because obviously the government is doing it, and they want you looking at that. They want you to focus on that. I mean, this is stuff they're doing anyway, that they intend to do. I mean, they're going to... Oh, look at this beautiful butterfly. I don't know whether you can see this. There's a black and white butterfly here. It's black and red and white. Incredible little... I get distracted by the nature around the place as I'm doing these videos, you can probably tell. I mean, it happens quite often that I get distracted by the wildlife when I see this sort of stuff. But so yeah, I don't think I've got anything more on my list. But yeah, with everything they're doing, folks, I mean, genociding the people, bringing in all these mRNA vaccines, bringing in their CBDC, You know, these mRNA vaccines, they'll literally be able to manufacture any disease they want in people. Doing all this stuff and restructuring the Middle East, dragging Europe into war, crashing the US economic system, you know, bringing in Trump as the saviour, and Trump is absolutely not the saviour. Trump is an absolute plant. The guy's an actor, and he's actually quite a good one. And bringing the world into World War III, you know, attacking Iran, all the shit they want to do. They don't want you looking at how the dominoes are all going into place. They want you focused on these drones that are flying around the United States. And again, just the fact that the government said, oh, it's nothing to worry about, shows you they're involved. Otherwise, they wouldn't be saying that. I mean, people say, oh, they're never going to admit that they don't know where they come from. And yeah, look, if they didn't know where they came from, there would be jets scrambled, there'd be curfews, there'd be lockdowns, there'd be all sorts of stuff like that. So they know exactly where they're coming from. Still a bit of damage around here, as you can see, from the hurricane. But it's coming along. It's coming along. The main area of the garden is certainly coming along anyway. But yeah, I think I might leave it there for now. That's about all I wanted to tell you. Actually, I'll go and see if John is here. He might want to have a few words to you about the Tesla machine. I've actually been having some good success with the Tesla machine, folks. I've got a friend here, actually, Bruce, who's just done himself a really bad surf injury. He went down on a wave and flipped, and the fin of the board came down and hit his calf muscle so hard that it actually bent the plastic fin on the surfboard, and he's all kind of laid up. So I'm going to go and see him. But this guy I've been treating for Bell's palsy, so I'll see if he can say a few words about that, about the kind of effect it's having on him. And again, folks, I mean, I'm not selling these machines or anything. I just think it's interesting technology. You there, John?
Hello.
How are you, brother?
Stop. Arriba.
You want to live up? Is that where you live up there?
See.
Si. Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, cool. You want to say a few words about the Tesla device?
Oh,
what your experience with it has been?
Okay, well, I guess I was in Guadalajara and went to a jiu-jitsu class and must have kind of knocked my jaw out of alignment. The next day I was just eating a piece of sushi and my whole jaw locked up and a bunch of muscles bulged out of my neck. And an hour later, a lady wanted a tune on my didgeridoo and I couldn't even make a noise. The whole one side of my face was completely dead. I couldn't even wrap my lips around a glass of water to have a drink. I thought I was having a stroke, but my mom told me about Bell's palsy, and sure enough, I had to close my eyelid with my fingers. And so I was 8 days, a completely dead face, no movement of any kind. And then Max let me on the Tesla machine that night. My eyelid started twitching. And I had lines on one side of my forehead, but they stopped at the center line. And after about 2 weeks, probably 7 sessions or so, I had lines fully across my forehead. I went 17 days, I couldn't play my didgeridoo. And anyway, after 10 sessions now, I've been almost a month, I'm almost back to square one, able to play my instrument.
Yeah.
Thank you, Max. So you get cool, yourself huh? A Tesla.
Cool stuff. So it's pretty good, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to take it around and try it on Bruce's leg today.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
Bruce messed his calf up surfing.
Okay.
He's on crutches and shit, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go and check that out. Maybe I'll even video that. Who knows?
Okay.
Thanks for having a word, brother.
Hasta luego.
You're doing well? You're doing well? You're working here, aren't you? Building for the conference.
Just volunteering, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Good on you, brother. So there you go, folks. It does actually do things, you know. I've been treating this lady for myocarditis. We don't know what result it's had yet. She's going to have to go back and get tested. She got myocarditis from simply having a blood transfusion. She went to hospital in Mexico City for a completely unrelated issue. I ended up giving her a blood transfusion, and suddenly she's got myocarditis, most likely from the blood transfusion. I mean, that's all we can put it down to anyway. I mean, she certainly didn't have the jab or anything. So I've been treating her. I got a message from someone the other day saying, oh, is a problem, he's read up bad things on the Tesla, what are they called, violet ray machines. These are this old 100-year-old technology. You can buy these little cases, and they've got all sorts of different arrays of glass fittings and stuff in there. This is different technology, folks. The Tesla machine, the one that Jeff's selling, and whoever's selling, Jeff's recommending, this is far, far advanced on those violet ray machines. I've actually got one of those violet ray machines at home. It was given to me by Clive DeCarl, or lent to me by Clive DeCarl. And I'll give that back whenever I get back to Australia, Clive. But this is very, very different technology to the violet ray machines. It's much more advanced. It's much more refined. And I haven't had anything but good results with it. I mean, I've been getting a lot of clarity. I had a really sore arm the other day. I got a pulled muscle in my arm. I put the Tesla machine on it, and it was fixed within 5 minutes. So that's good. Well, I put it on there for 15 minutes, and then 5 minutes after that, I just thought about it, and no, it was gone. The pain was gone. So, yeah. I don't use it enough. I should use it for an hour every day, but I don't. I use it for like 15 minutes, maybe every 2 days, because I'm just so busy doing shit. But I need to get on it more and actually spend more time investigating this thing, because everybody that I'm using it on has been having really good results. Even the lady with the myocarditis, like I said, we don't know until she goes back and gets tested when she leaves here. She's been staying at the house for a couple of weeks now, maybe 3 weeks, and she's been using it almost every day. And so we need to send her back in for tests once she gets back to where she's living. But she said she's feeling totally energized from it, massive amounts of clarity. The guy who lives upstairs has given up like all alcohol and weed and everything, and he's on a full health kick at the moment. And he said he feels amazing after using it, has all sorts of visions when he sleeps and lucid dreams and all sorts of stuff, and amazing mental clarity. So all the reports I've had have been pretty good. So yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to sell you anything, folks. I find it interesting. I find all this sort of technology interesting. And it's remarkable that I've got one. I mean, I wouldn't have one unless Jeff had given it to me. I mean, obviously, they're quite expensive. I've seen a lot of people complaining about that. Yeah, I don't know, folks. I mean, I'm not involved. So, like I said, I mean, if it works, it works. So, but I'm still, like I do with everything, I still reserve my judgment on everything. But I'm just sharing with you that I actually have had some good results. So I'll try it on Bruce this afternoon on his calf muscle and see what sort of results that yields as well. I mean, it is pretty damn damaged though, so we'll just see if it has any effect. But yeah, I think that's again about all I've got to say. I've totally lost the list and gone off topic and just been kind of rambling for this whole time. So, and again, you know, a fair bit of focus on Palestine, because I think it's important, you know, even them saying, you know, there was never a country called Palestine. There was a country called Palestine, folks, and it was a very, very beautiful country. يلا امشوا معنا عفلسطين عفلسطين وضرب الأقصى نادانا متى راجعين متى راجعين يلا امشوا معنا عفلسطين عفلسطين وضرب الأقصى نادانا متى راجعين
This was an unprovoked attack. They will make you feel that it was unprovoked.
Babies, their heads cut off.
They're gonna circulate misinformation so that the whole world believes it.
Pictures of terrorists beheading children.
This morning, CNN reported that Israel cannot confirm the specific claim that babies were beheaded.
She claims Israeli children kidnapped and kept in cages. We found the original video was in fact published a few days before the Hamas attack.
They're gonna play the victim in any way possible. They're gonna stand with the oppressor, ironically using pictures from the oppressed. They're gonna reduce your reach every time you post about it. But the truth will always be clear for those who are willing to find it.
Living Alex in an open air prison.
No electricity, no food,
and mine,
no fuel, no water.
Yeah, it's imperative that people see just what happened and why all this is being done. I've gone through and I've explained to you before, I mean, that the claim that these people have, saying that, you know, Jews come from Judea, this is a completely fallacious claim. And the claim that the current crop of Jews who are all Polish and Irish and Romanian and Georgian, you know, that these people have any claim to it is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And if any religion does have a claim to that land, then all religions have a claim to that land, because not only is Jerusalem the birthplace of Judaism, it's also the birthplace of Christianity and the birthplace of Islam. So it all comes from the same place, so nobody really has a claim to the Holy Land. If you are holy and you follow any religion at all, then everybody has a claim to the Holy Land. Personally, I'm not religious. I think religion has always been one of the world's leading causes of death. People believe in a different book to me, so I should kill them. I mean, this whole concept, I think, is ludicrous. But that's the way people are. That's the way people have been trained to be. Personally, I think we all have a connection to the divine And we don't need religion to get in the way, because it just ends up in war and bloodshed and death, and like you end up like Judaism, which is essentially a cult of death, which thrives on bloodshed. I mean, you don't kill people with the ridiculously brutal methods that we see Israel using if you're not someone who doesn't enjoy bloodlust and you're simply defending yourself. No. Now, claiming Israel is defending itself and claiming that it's not committing genocide is absolutely ludicrous at this stage of the game, folks. It's obvious what Israel's doing, and it's obvious that it controls all of our governments. Otherwise, you wouldn't have so many governments supporting the heinous actions of this rogue state, which essentially has no right to exist. A nice little couch there to just kick back and relax on, folks. The Secret Garden, it's a beautiful place. Yeah, again, an Acapulco will be happening here. And if you want to get a ticket, link below. 10% discount by using the coupon EGAN. I look forward to seeing you there. But that's about it for me, folks. And actually the same with the Tesla machine, if you want to get one of them. Again, they're expensive. But if you use the coupon EGAN, you'll get $500 off, and that's a pretty good saving as well. So, yeah. Beautiful place, folks. Beautiful place. But, yeah, and that's about it. Again, same thank yous. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. Thank you to all the people on the front line, and there is so many people speaking out on the front line now. Admittedly, a lot of them are, you know, controlled, I would suggest, like mainstream alternate media. It has been comforting to see how much Candace Owens has been criticising Israel. I don't know quite where to put her yet. She actually made Anti-Semite of the Year. She got the Anti-Semite of the Year award a few days ago, which is a very honourable title for her to have had. Anybody who gets that title should wear it as a badge on their chest. Hey, Pushkin. What are you doing just sitting there? Where are you going now? You get scared of the stick, the camera. Oh. But, yeah, I mean, anybody who gets the Anti-Semite of the Year award is definitely on the right track. They're totally upset with her for exposing what happened on the USS Liberty, saying this was a case of mistaken identity. No, it wasn't. It was completely deliberate. There's been so much information come out about it. She was simply interviewing one of the survivors who's saying what happened. There's been radio transcripts where you've seen that the president was pushing this ship. They wanted it done. They wanted the ship brought to the bottom of the ocean, but the ship was simply too strong. It didn't go to the bottom of the ocean. And too many people found out about it. And, yeah, they're claiming it was mistaken identity, but it wasn't. You have a good day, brother. So, yeah, it's a lot coming out about it. But, yeah, I don't know quite where to put her. I mean, she's been saying a lot of stuff that needs to be said about Israel. Whether she's controlled or not, I don't know. It's still good that she's saying these sorts of things. And no matter how much they suspend her or sack her or whatever, she's not letting up. She's still saying it. And that's a good thing. So, yeah, interesting how the tide turns. Now, I don't think Israel's going to survive this, folks. I really don't. I mean, too many people see Israel for what it is now. And with the Trump presidency, it's going to be one of the worst things that's ever happened to the United States, because the New World Order has got all the dominoes in place now. They just need someone like Trump to push it forward for them. And unfortunately, a lot of the cult of Trump will support him in doing so, because they've been programmed into thinking that all brown men are bad. And, of course, you've got the division, the racial division within the United States, the destruction of the white people, claims of white privilege, all that sort of stuff. It's not white privilege, it's just Jewish privilege. Of course, you can't say that. It's anti-Semitic. But the Jews have often said, you know, I'll be a Jew when I want to be, and I'll be white when I want to be. It depends on how the politics is working, you know. So they're the ones that have pushed all this sort of shit, and all the division between blacks and whites, and the racial division, and which is something that they're bringing in all countries. That's what a lot of the immigration thing is all about. They want this big war of East against West to erupt in Europe and in the Middle East. And so they brought all the migrants into all the European countries and all Western countries to ensure that that war also happens on the ground in your own country. And again, it isn't a matter of anybody winning or any side winning. The matter is killing as many people as possible, having them kill each other. And in the end, the only ones who win, of course, are the Jews, because that's always been the plan. So thank you to anybody speaking out about this stuff. You know, and again, you can trace it, Freemasons and Jesuits and the Vatican. It's all the one thing though, folks. You know, the Vatican holds a lot of sway over the world. You know, Jesuits hold a lot of sway over the world. But Israel, Judaism, is like the attack dog of the Jesuits. So that's who they get to do the dirty work. But ultimately, it's all the one club. All of it. So, you just got to look at the bigger picture. But as I've said so many times, I mean, I see it as a huge opportunity for freedom. The system is being laid bare, folks. That's what the apocalypse is about, the great revealing. And, I mean, you can judge your politicians by how many of them are speaking out about this stuff. How many of them are just beating around the bush, saying some good things. Alex Antic in Australia, a lot of politicians saying good things. But they're not giving you the whole story. I mean, Pauline Hanson turned out to be a snake in the grass, totally supporting the genocide of Palestine, totally supporting Israel and everything that she does, even conversing with criminals such as Avi Yemeni. And I would question where Avi Yemeni was on the night of the firebombing of the Melbourne synagogue. He lives in Melbourne, and his former IDF, likely a Mossad operative, just spreading disinformation and war propaganda for Israel. I'd like to know where he was at that time. And actually, the guy who's making short videos for me is in the process of making a video about the synagogue firebombing in Melbourne. And you'll be getting that uploaded sometime in the next few days as well. Plus, I've got an interview I did with Gareth Icke. There's a bunch of stuff that should be uploaded in the next few days. Plus, also, as I said, I've got this interview coming up where I intend to interview the guy, Matt, who discovered the AI videos that were being used October the 7th. So, a lot of information coming, folks. And thank you to all these activists. Thank you to Matt. Thank you to all of them. Thank you to anybody speaking out. Thank you to people who share the information. And thank you, of course, to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. You guys have been awesome. You really have. You've kept the show on the air for so long. And I'm sorry that I've got a little bit of focus on topics you might be tired of, like Gaza. But as I've said, I mean, it's important, folks. It's really important because it all ties into the bigger picture. You know, and the world changes so rapidly these days. I mean, every week there's just major events to talk about. So much is going on, and it's just not letting up. Hello. So, yeah, it's incredible. And when you step back and see, I mean, it all ties together. But anyway, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website, folks. I really do appreciate it, and I cannot thank you people enough for keeping this show going. It's one of the ways I judge the merit of the information as well. You know, I figure if, as well, I've never sold anything. I've never had any subscriber section. The only thing I've ever sold are t-shirts, which actually cost me about $1 to sell. You know, after the printing and the mailing costs and all that sort of stuff, like these t-shirts, I was selling them for $20. And after mileage, it generally cost me between $1 and $3 to actually get them to whoever bought them. So yeah, I mean, either I need to put the price up or whatever. But I've never done it for profit. I only ever did it because people wanted the t-shirts. And hey, just the fact that people are supporting the show by buying a t-shirt or by whatever made me feel that I just should keep the price at $20, and it's okay to pay a couple of dollars to sell them, you know. And no, I'm not saying buy a t-shirt, please, because all the t-shirts are in Australia and I'm not in Australia. And I don't have any online t-shirt shop or anything. These were actually printed up by a guy I know there who has a print shop. That's what he does for a living. And he actually printed them up for me, and they're all sitting on a hanger in my pantry at the moment, and they've been sitting there for the last 3 years, 3.5 years. So no, don't order a t-shirt from me, because I can't supply you with one. But yeah, what I'm saying, that's the only thing I've ever sold. I never had a subscriber section. I never monetized any of my accounts. So I thought it was really important for people to know that I don't do this for money. And one of the things that I've always thought is that if the message is pure, I haven't let my ego get in the way, I haven't believed my own press or any of that sort of shit, and my heart is still in the right spot, and I'm still delivering what is, to the best of my knowledge, truthful information, and providing all this stuff for free, then the universe will provide for me. Hey, amigo. Do video, okay? Hasta luego. Local kids, folks. He lives around the corner from me. I buy him and his sister a present sometimes when I'm at the shop because they're just such nice, friendly kids. So, yeah. What was I saying? But anyway, yeah, I've done all this sort of stuff. I've always figured if my heart's in the right place and the message is pure, then with what I'm providing to the universe will provide back to me. So kind of use that as a yardstick, as a measuring stick. And thank you for confirming what I've been saying, and thank you for believing in the message. If people don't believe in the message, if people can't see the power of themselves as being the way out of this, then I think all hope is lost. I mean, even in my film in 2010, The Awakening, I spoke about the energetic conversation you're having with reality. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. And we are having this ongoing conversation with reality based on our energetic state. Now, we're literally manifesting reality due to the energy we're putting into the field, our emotional energy. Emotion is a language. I mentioned recently that also ether was known as the fifth element. The ether, the energetic ether, the stuff that Tesla used to harvest energy from the field, the stuff that the old civilizations used through mercury to harvest energy from the field. A lot of the old buildings had mercury energy devices on them. And this is all etheric energy. We are created from that etheric energy. We are created and we interact with that etheric energy all the time. As I've said many times, your entire life is a prayer. Every moment of every day you're having this conversation with the energy field around you. And your emotions are what is charging that energy field. And that's the energy that others have to draw on. So you look, why is the world so messed up when there's a lot of us that know what's going on? It's because there's billions of other people out there who are kept in a state of constant fear, who are putting that energy into the field. And all we can do is pull that fear energy into ourselves and convert it into love energy and put it back out there and dilute the message and dilute the field that way. I went through all this in my film, The Awakening, 2010, recently deleted from Vimeo. I did have links to all my films on my website, but they've all been deleted. But if you search YouTube or somewhere, you'll probably find a copy of it. I don't have access to an actual copy of it at the moment. I was thinking of actually opening another channel on BitChute just for my films, because I did like 70 films. And I don't have them anywhere posted online anymore because all these sites have been closed down. So I was actually thinking of doing that. But I don't have access to the files at the moment. But that might change soon. But when you understand that, you understand what the drone thing's all about. Why the war has been made so brutal and blatant and obvious and live-streamed on X. The genocide, not the war. You know, the fear of COVID, the fear of the vaccine, the fear of the side effects, the fear of everything. Don't fear anything. Fear is half of what keeps you ill, folks. It's what makes you ill, stress and fear. That's why I just don't stress about anything. That's why I say remove all stake in the outcome. This is a temporary experience. You're going to die one day. That's the way it is. Don't worry about it. It's what you do with the time while you're here. It's important. And the energy field that you're in. I mean, I look at everything that's going on in wonderment. They're able to get away with this shit, and wonderment that people haven't seen it, and wonderment of the possibilities that we have, and just a constant state of wonder. And I do everything I can to try to help people. You know, if you're in integrity and you're living your life with no stake in the outcome, moment by moment, living in the now in a constant state of wonderment of what's around you, I don't think they can touch you. I really don't. I mean, you're just in this high energy state, where every moment of every day is incredible. Even if you're sitting home bored, it's still an incredible moment, you know? I think that's how to get through it. But once you understand how this works, it's really easy to detach yourself from all of these outcomes. It's really easy to detach yourself from the state of fear that you're in and just live your life moment to moment in the now. Not in a state of apprehension about what may happen in the future, not in a state of stress about what happened in the past. Just living right now. Birds singing, gentle breeze blowing, beautiful trees around the place. Just here, a little calf up the road there. I think calf toes, a dog or a calf, looks like a, could be a dog, could be a German Shepherd. I don't know, you get little calves on the road here sometimes as well. But yeah, I mean, just being in a constant state of wonder for reality itself and always living your life in a state of integrity. In Lakesh, I am another yourself. I will not do to you that which I would not have done to myself. In Lakesh, we are each other. We are literally a thought in the mind of God, each coming from the same source. Just having this understanding is an incredibly empowering place to be. So yeah, but anyway, I'm rambling and babbling again. Again, folks, thank you. Thank you to everybody who listens. Thank you to anybody who's ever given me any support. Thank you to all the activists out on the front line. Thank you to the people who send me so many kind emails. I've got a few emails I need to answer. People have been kind of pouring their heart out to me and asking for some advice. And advice is a dangerous thing. Once you give it, it can never be recalled. And I'm going to go because the chickens are making too much noise. Oh, the roosters. But anyway, folks, I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thank you for joining me on the show today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. In Lakesh.
E poi inizierai a notare la presenza di antenne soprastanti molte delle cattedrali adornate con guglie sopra le quali si ergono. Di solito quella sfera sarebbe di ferro all'interno per contenere il mercurio, poiché il mercurio corrode, è una sostanza viva, proprio come l'acqua. Se metti cose attorno al mercurio, come materiali diversi dal ferro, lo corrode. Quindi, per esempio, hai un parafulmine con un nucleo di ferro, mercurio all'interno e ottone all'esterno. E se c'è qualche tipo di rotazione o vibrazione, come un organo a canne o una campana, e il mercurio gira nella sfera, inizia a generare elettricità. L'ho testato, ho comprato mercurio e un voltmetro. Ho girato il mercurio con la mano, niente di strano, davanti al voltmetro e ho ottenuto tensione. Ho pensato, ora hai un'antenna enorme rispetto alla mia mano, sai, e tutto il resto. E se avessi molto di questo e qualsiasi rotazione avvenga, potresti avere energia gratuita dal tuo tetto, solo usando suoni e materiali.